understand that one.
For Pete's sake, hit the button.
So you, for the first time in history, this is the first time this phrase has been uttered. Can you turn Kelly up a little bit?
Sorry. Kelly's online. Two, go on then. Kelly? Say something.
Waiters can suck it.
Oh my god. Here and see the panel on the wall behind you.
I just want to tell on Waiters, because when Jeff said that you were delayed because the meeting overran, Waiters said that's because Kelly was talking too much.
No, Mueller said that.
Oh, was it Mueller?
Credit where credit's due. Okay, Mueller said that.
That was two good jokes I told tonight.
Because Waiters was there when I tried to assault Ewan with a roost stand. That's why. I think I hit him across the head with it.
I thought we were keeping that quiet.
Is this some like euphemism that I don't understand?
No, it's not a code. It's actually, you know, a thing that holds up your computer. And
oh, no, bet we'd missed it.
Ewan made a joke about being able to see right over my head or something, and I clocked him with it.
Deephead thinks we should go through.
Because you know all those times that I say there will come a point when we will be in the same place and I will be able to reach you?
Yeah, that's the fucking afterlife.
You're going to need more than a roost stand. Jesus.
I wasn't standing on it. I was using it as a weapon.
I mean, me and you, like, piled on top of one another still wouldn't have a chance to meet him in the eye.
It's not entirely true. But mostly it's just an entertaining image. Like, we put the trench coat on, like we're just one tall person.
Yeah.
I want that photo.
You can't have that photo unless it's in portrait, because there's no way of getting us even close to the same position on the landscape.
That's all right. We can get a wide-angle lens, turn it sideways, and we're set.
That's what I do when the pictures that I put up on the internet in the chat rooms.
What's writing of these Shamley's privates?
Whoa. I'm just waiting for Jeff to turn to the side with his iPad Pro and sketch out.
Right here, you and your shorts.
The trench coat and the...
Them in Doctor Who pajamas.
Okay.
What are you
f***ing 12? Totally happened, Kelly.
Wait, what? Huh? What? Let's see them.
Columns, that mean it's bigger on the inside.
Those are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh. Now I can never have any.
Wanker.
I recorded that.
you can broadcast that.
What? Oh.
I'm done. Hello, welcome to the big show.
No, don't hit record.
Oh, we've got a bleep,
Right, he's put a f***ing before we've even started. That's the podcasting version of premature ejaculation.
Yeah,
right,
there's definitely pills you could get for that.
You can't shove a f***ing before we've got going.
So you and premature is a very relative term. For someone, it's not a problem.
Is that how
yeah, no, that's just
it's an issue.
Is that how you pass it off, Jeff?
It's just.
Well,
this is
what people tell me.
I start the show and Kelly's disappeared.
It's
if she's gone for alcohol, she's excused. Any other reason, not okay. Kelly, oh come on, woman. It's the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in tech, all the big stories. This is a serious techno journal podcast with. Don't believe the shit you've heard before this. This is where the real serious stuff starts.
It really is.
It really is.
It really is.
Joining me to discuss the week in tech, Kelly's got a beer. That'll do. She's all right. I can live with that. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, someone who's been very quiet actually through all of this because he's got a reputation and a business to uphold, Lee Garrett.
Yeah, that reputation's going every appearance I make on here.
I do apologise, mate. This is the place where careers come to die.
Indeed. It's a pleasure and an honour to be here again, Ewan.
Well, you should be embarrassed about it because you can lie.
He said that through gritted teeth.
How you been doing, mate? We haven't seen you for a couple of weeks.
This is the best pre-show I think we have ever had.
And I didn't record any of it either, unfortunately.
A second of it.
No, not much of it.
It's okay, I can drink, like, on another pre-show. It just isn't as much fun when I'm not here.
You said that without moving your lips, Lee. Well done, mate.
That was my impersonation of Kelly.
Now, mate, you've been promising a productivity show for us for...
Indeed.
Well, since George Michael was still in friggin' Wham, it feels like.
Jesus Christ.
But, as well, isn't it?
But,
well,
it's coming.
Fortunately, I've been liaising with some of our esteemed BTN guests, and yeah, I've got a schedule set up now, so it's going to be coming in the new year.
Sorry, Lee, can I just check? You said esteemed BTN guests, but as far as I'm aware,
you've... you as well. You did.
And me right, and Righty.
Yeah, good. You beat me to it.
Nah, we've got another surprise as well when we get round to Righty. But the output show is coming, is it not? Imminent.
It is indeed in January. Our first guest is going to be Kelly, and it's going to be a bit of a behind the scenes sort of look as to how our BTN guys sort of, you know.
Sorry, the rest of us are sniggering because the rest of us thought you were going to say it was 2 hours long.
I'm going to restrict Kelly to half an hour. I can do it. I've got a plan.
That is a buttload editing.
Indeed.
Best of luck, dude. Next to him is Jeff Gabbert. Kelly, stop looking at the floor, mate. You knew you were going to get this. You can't stare at me because no one else
can
really see
that. I'm really disappointed you didn't record the pre-show, because if you had, we'd be done now. We can't top that.
No, we can't. No. And there's a good reason why you should watch live. Most definitely. Because of what you could have
heard. You're
missing
out on the money shots if you don't watch live.
Now, listen, mate, you're in a different location. I can see that. You've got multicoloured slots at the back. You've either built a playhouse at the bottom of the garden, or you're in someone else's house.
I built a playhouse in someone else's garden.
Is that a euphemism?
Well played.
Yes, indeed.
Ah! Now,
actually, timing-wise, with everything I have going on today, it was much easier just to pick up my studio and move it over to Angela's office for the afternoon. And so here I am. And the great thing is I have this green wall behind me.
I got to say, so, Angela's office sounds like a TV show with a 7-series run.
Yeah. And so anyhow.
Was that not a movie?
Either that or a porn channel.
Key the background out and put me in any venue you'd like.
Badum tish. Beneath Jeff, as always, there's a good youth. There's another good one.
Oh, here we go.
Kelly, how you doing, mate?
I'm a little bummed I missed most of the pre-show, honestly.
Yeah, being bummed in the UK is completely different.
Oh, okay. Disappointed?
That's something that happens in jail.
That's yeah.
Okay.
What have you been up to, mate? How's the leg?
It's good. I am officially free of physical therapy and free of the knee brace of Satan and doing mostly getting around for the most part doing okay.
So. I just want to procure a knee brace from Satan.
What you do is you go to an orthopedic surgeon who says you actually don't need surgery, but what we're going to do is give you this knee brace and it's going to be so much better for you. So here you go. And it's a nightmare.
Is it like a swimming certificate where you kind of work your way up levels and eventually you get to a point where you get Satan's one? Or is that the bottom level? Is that the entry level?
That's the entry level because then I could, I got to upgrade to something that was not so warm and did not cover my leg in neoprene while it was 100 degrees for 4 months. Wow. So, yeah.
Some people pay £100 an hour for that.
I know. I'm not one of those people.
Wheaters, if you want to know what the devil's knee brace looks like, it's called a ceviche.
A ceviche, wow.
That's in quiet for
that sounds like something I would have for my dinner in a fancy restaurant.
Ceviche. Righty boy, how the devil are you? How's Norwich? How's Hot Boss?
Fine, what the hell is going on tonight?
So basically this is a show with four guests and Muller and Wheaters in the studio with me.
Hello.
A 7-way conversation is not going to stop between 2 hours. There's going to be 2 episodes. Oh. To this show, I feel it coming. Plus, we've been drinking, so that doesn't help either. And you've frozen, or you're just fed up.
What?
No, you've gone to Minecraft level. Anyway, are you going to answer my question or not?
Fine and dandy, sir.
Excellent, mate. Jolly good. Now then, we have a new show coming in the Output Show, but we also have a new show coming from you, do we not?
We do, sir. Are we announcing this now, are we?
We are announcing it because I heard you were imminent.
Well,
I heard you were ready.
You should have warned us.
Wow. He wasn't even breathing heavy.
Imminent, I said, not impotent.
Oh. My bad.
This
is the
Shit, Bess, isn't it?
I planned this for weeks, you cheeky bastard. So,
let's try this again.
No, let's not. So, Righty is hosting his own suggestion. This is the Castaway Show, are you not?
I am indeed, yes. You can come and join me on a desert island for fun and frolics.
Now, we should say, for purposes of copyright, this is an unashamed tip of the nod to Desert Island Discs, isn't it?
Oh, we're ripping it off completely.
Yeah.
Absolute rip-off.
But we are not doing discs, we are doing tech.
You are doing tech. And we've spoken, haven't we? We've got some, like, corkers of intros and stuff. It's going to be fantastic. So, yeah, I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks to get going. I've spoken to a few people who are already here.
Right, you've got to switch the microwave off.
It can't
off,
be
mate.
Any worse than
it's
this.
It's not working. The wife's running the microwave or something because it's your router's. You went into 8-bit there and no one knows anything about it. So there you go. That's called teasing. Righty announces the Castaway Show and then tells you nothing about it.
I know. I'm intrigued.
It's a teaser.
The Castaway Show is coming. It's an unashamed rip-off of Desert Island Discs, but you will love it, I promise you, because we've got some fabulous guests lined up. Absolutely fabulous. And last but by no means least, it's Cyberboy. Ciderboy, even. Not Cyberboy.
No, that was my late 90s screen name.
Right. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
We've been for curry at the Kismet. Yes. So Paul got into the train station. We picked him up. We went for curry. And now we're here.
Yeah. It's the most disappointing pickup I've had at the train station.
Sorry, mate.
Hey, the night is young. You don't know where it is.
But it beats the rent boys in King's Cross that you used to.
Well,
maybe not. The Week in Tech. What's been happening? What's been going on? What's the big stories? If you're looking at Yahoo and you're thinking that'd be a good investment, they're thinking of selling. So it might be. Marissa Meyer may not have done the wonder job that everyone thought she was going to do. America has gone mad with gun culture, and I've got to say, people, the last thing you need is handguns and semi-automatic weapons. For Christ's sake, get those, because that's just ridiculous. And there's been loads of other stuff going on. And we're going to bomb Syria, apparently, which is cool. Yeah, wonderful. So in the whole smorgasbord of the world going completely frigging mad, fortunately, tech brings us some sanity. And these five people have the stories that will make you believe that the world is actually sane and not off its rocker like everyone else believes.
Uh-oh. The hell, you're coming to us for sanity?
That means they've all got stories about porn. Jesus. who would like to start us off? Stick your link in the chat room and away you go.
I would. I'm looking for the link right now.
Kelly's off. Oh, Lee was fast on the button though. Kelly.
Hold off though.
No. That's good pasting there, dude. Well done. Kelly still hasn't got it in.
No, I'm coming right now. There.
Stop shaking your fist and paste the link.
I did.
This isn't a story that you wrote, is it?
It is a story I wrote. Would you
like
to
link it? Well,
this is
Gamut does this. No. Hang on. Gamut does this every week.
Now that is totally hyperbolic.
Jeff,
I do
nepotism.
Most weeks.
Jeff's Twitter handle is changing to @nepotism.
Okay. To be fair, when was the last time I linked you to a story I wrote?
And me had a really bad argument over the utilities thing for net neutrality. And
that was at least a year ago.
Yeah, that was.
At least a year.
Okay, fair enough.
Long in the memory, that argument. That was good.
Fair enough, then, Kelly. Go on, you can have this one.
Okay, so is Lee ahead of me or no?
No, you're up. You're up.
Okay, so now I don't know if this is U.S. only or not, but I don't know what the affiliation would be in other countries, but in the U.S., if you go to a Verizon store and you have to be a Verizon customer, you can get Google Cardboard that is Star Wars themed, and then you can use it with the new VR thing that they've added to the official Star Wars app, which I think you can use in the app because the app is available worldwide. It's called Jakku Spy, and you are a spy on planet Jakku. And you get messages from the Resistance, and you have to interact with the world. And you put it's like a ViewMaster for people who don't know what Google Cardboard is. It's like a ViewMaster that you drop your phone into, and then you hold it up to your face, and it's like a 3D virtual reality thing. And it's super awesome. And Google Cardboard is available in a bunch of different varieties from a bunch of different places. You don't need the Star Wars themed one in order to do this. The thing that is cool to me about it is that with Google Cardboard, you can play with this. And let me get a link to the official Star Wars app. There is only the one. It's available on iOS and Android. And it's and the app itself is super fun. They've got a VR or a, it's not VR, it's an augmented reality thing where you hold your phone up and it uses your camera, and your phone is like a lightsaber handle, and you have to deflect the bolts from the little droid that floats around and shoots lasers at you, which is also way funner than it should be. So
sorry, I'm lost there. So is this still Google Cardboard, or is this an app on your phone that you handhold? It's a separate thing.
No. The official Star Wars app on your phone has a bunch of different components in it. One of them is news, one of them is videos. They have all these different things that you can do. One of those things is this Jakku Spy, and you can play that with Google Cardboard.
If you're wondering what the link to that is, Chris Campion has found it in the UK store in Apple, itunes.apple.com/app/star-wars. And just type in Star Wars app, and it's in there by Disney. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, it's from Disney, which is how you know it's the one.
Yeah.
And it's just called Star Wars.
Listen to any of the stuff in the show and you're like, oh, God, I wish I got that link, don't worry. Go to britishcentnetwork.com/chat, because we've got a bot in the chat room that picks up all the chat and then it posts it. So all you've got to do is navigate to 3rd of December on that page. And you'll see everything that Kelly's talking about and everything that the rest of us are talking about. Whether you want to click the link or not, that's fine. Don't click anything that Muller posts.
Hey, oh, that's out of order.
But not inaccurate.
That's just good sense.
Anyway, carry on, Kelly.
So if you have the official Star Wars app, which is free, and then you pick up or build this Google Cardboard viewer, you can use it and play with this virtual reality game. And it sounds like a lot of fun. I haven't actually done it yet because I don't have a Google Cardboard set up in my world at the moment. I have an R2-D2 cardboard one headed my direction, but it's not here yet. So if you are interested, there's a lot of other interesting stuff in the Star Wars app. So if you're into Star Wars, but you don't necessarily just want to play Lego Star Wars or Angry Birds Star Wars or Battlefront or any of those other things, this is also a way to get like a bunch of information and play with some kind of neat things. And it's very, very cool, and it's a good way to kill time until the 18th. So there you go.
Have you got tickets?
Of course I do. Have you ever met me?
I haven't got tickets. No, I haven't got any tickets yet. I don't know whether to.
Well, so I've got tickets. Who in the show has not got tickets?
Who's not got tickets? Me.
Besides Ewan.
I've got tickets.
I have tickets to go two different days.
Mm-hmm.
Which proves what?
Proves he has tickets.
That in my own mind, I'm popular.
Okay. In my own bathroom, I'm the best singer in the world. That's right. Righty, have you got tickets? Righty's on mute.
But you know, yes, I got bloody tickets.
He's unzipping as well. God, I thought it was Magic Mike.
They've got my Star Wars t-shirt on. Bloody, eh?
Mother, have you got tickets?
Nope.
Yeah, finally. It's not just me on my own then. I will get tickets. I will go. I'll wait till the rush dies down there. It's probably shit. So.
I'll wait for
it. So, I mean, what's the discussion though, Kelly? Is that that's more like a cool thing rather than a discussion.
Well, for me, the interesting thing about it is that partly that the content for this virtual reality thing, you download episodes of it. It was developed in conjunction with the movie so that you would have something to play with, you know, something to do before the movie comes out. But also because it's an interesting way to deliver this stuff to people. And the reason it was interesting to me is because you can go buy a Google Cardboard viewer. You can get one for free if you're a Verizon customer here. There are probably other places that continue to give them away or have given them away. But they also have instructions on Google's website for how you can build your own, which I think is kind of cool. And you can build one of these and play with it. And I think that using this with Star Wars is a really good way to get people interested in Google Cardboard. And I think it'll be a lot of fun.
But so you've not got Google Cardboard. So you haven't
not
tried
yet.
No, no, no.
It's coming.
Yeah, I just kind of find, I know you and you like Google Cardboard, and it was talked about in the show.
I think it's a great concept, but it's pretty limited.
Yeah. So I got it, and I used it for like a minute, and then realized that, well, great, I can see a bit of a crappy 3D roller coaster thing. Awesome. And I kind of wanted to do more. I know it's only like an eight quid or what, $10 or something like that Cardboard thing. But I don't know, I just kind of thought it was like, it was gimmicky, and I don't really get where it was going.
I felt exactly the same, Paul. After we went to the bash, yeah, I bought a Google Cardboard as soon as we got back. I think I used it one Saturday evening. I think there were about four games that I downloaded, yep, and experienced, and I think it's been sat in my wardrobe ever since. I haven't really touched it.
I think, I mean, this is my opinion purely, but Kelly referenced it as being like the
Viewmaster.
The Viewmaster, there we go. You had the cards that you put in and you snapped them round. And I think it's exactly like that. I mean, in terms of technology, it's nothing like that. It's significantly superior, but... I think it's exactly like that in the basis that you had one of those as a kid and you had a card that you put in and you looked up and you snapped through the pictures and then you put it to one side and then you'd buy a magazine that had a Viewmaster card on it. Oh, I've got one of those. And you pull it out and you shove the card in and you go, oh, that's pretty cool. And then you put it back down again. It's a thing that you, unless the content is being produced for it, it's shit.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I've yet to find something decent. Like, every now and again, I kind of pick it up.
No, everything that's on it is decent. But it's decent for 5 minutes.
I don't know.
Just the same as the Viewmaster stuff was. You'd look through it, you'd watch it, it was done, and then you'd wait for the next thing to come out. And if the next thing wasn't there, you'd put the Viewmaster in a cupboard.
I don't think I felt the same way about this as I did about Viewmaster. Viewmaster was something, it was almost like there was nothing like it. And it was cool, and it was fun, and you could see pictures of Disneyland or something like that because you'd never been before. And I just kind of felt like this was a bit... It was almost like a thing looking for a reason as opposed to you actually fulfilling something good. I don't know, I just didn't like it. And it's kind of cool that they've come along and they're going to put some kind of Star Wars twist in it, but it sort of feels to me like that, and maybe it works and maybe that's the purpose of it, but it sort of feels like to me they've went, oh, everybody's talking about Star Wars, let's do a Star Wars thing, and then everybody will be talking about Google Cardboard again, and that's awesome, and if that was their marketing technology then, or that was their marketing tact, then that's fantastic because we're all talking about it, and kudos to the social media or the marketing department at that place, but I don't know. Just kind of, it kind of feels a little bit wanting than actually a product.
There's a question from Swampmat in the chat room as well, or a statement from him that says, not impressed with Abrahams either. Mr. Lensflare couldn't sit through 10 minutes of the Star Trek movie that he did. Is Disney and Abrahams going to be the best thing ever that happened to the Star Trek franchise, or is it utter catastrophe? Because, I mean, you look at the things that have come out this year, I'm thinking particularly of Age of Ultron, you know, the estimations of the take at the box office for that were woefully down on comparison of what was actually seen. And there's a lot of movies are tanking, in inverted commas, and I know everyone's bought pre-tickets for this thing, but actually, could it be the death of the Star Wars franchise?
It can't be worse than Episode 1.
Precisely. There you go. Yeah. It doesn't and have Lucas Jar Jar doesn't have anything to do with this one.
It's already better.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's not writing it, and he's not directing it, so it's automatically better than the first three.
Wow. That's hard.
It's the truth. The man is good at storytelling. The man is not good at execution. He's not a good director. He lucked into getting people like Harrison Ford and Alec Guinness, who can actually act in episodes 4, 5, and 6. He accidentally cast people who were able to make good films out of those, and there's a lot of love and care in those. And the CGI and all of, you know, and the completely computer created characters and all of that, like, there's no care in 1, 2, and 3, in my opinion. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like all of the stuff that I really like about the first ones is not the plot, it's not the dialogue, it's not any of that stuff. It's that you can feel in every single frame of those movies how much love went into them. And I don't feel that in 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 feel like I need another wing on the house. And that's why I'm doing this. And not like they're trying to tell an interesting story. And in fact, if you look up Machete Order, if you watch the films in Machete Order, or if you have a kid who hasn't seen them and you want to show them the movies.
Sorry, what's Machete Order? Machete Order.
Yeah.
What's Machete Order?
With a knife. So what you do is you show the Star Wars films in a particular order.
Which order?
What?
Which order?
Four, I'm about to tell
five,
you what it is.
Two, three, so, six. That's what? Machete order.
Wait a minute. What?
Four, okay. Five, two, three, six. Yeah. Not, and don't show yeah. one at all because they'll have nightmares.
Yeah. Right.
Well, nothing happens in episode one. If you take that away from the films entirely, you're not impacted by anything. The only interesting people get killed. And
but how do you know what happens to Jar Jar Binks? I mean, how do you know?
Interesting people.
Jar Jar Binks is a catastrophic character, and I'm not going to even right. defend that.
Because you can, but, not because you should. Yeah, because you can, not because you should.
No, that's no. See, important. Now here's the thing. I think the relationship between Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan is crucial to the way that you view the relationships of Obi-Wan through the remaining movies. I think it's absolutely essential. I'm not suggesting that it's the best movie that's made in the franchise. It really isn't. I do agree.
I really want to hear this. But, I've never heard this theory presented. Show your work.
So, well, I haven't got any workings. This is just a feeling. If you want numbers, forget it. I just think that if you look at the relationship between Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan in that first movie, it sets the entire chain of events of why Obi-Wan is horrifically wrong about Skywalker going forwards. And then why he realizes his problem and corrects it in 4 with Luke. That's the whole epitome of the storyline.
I could buy that, yeah.
It's a whole...
That's an interesting take, yeah. And I like that.
It's all about... Too. The horrific mistake that Qui-Gon Jinn makes in assuming that this is the character that will bring balance to the Force. And Obi-Wan, because he's his apprentice, follows that through and carries on all of the ethics that Qui-Gon Jinn wants, because Qui-Gon Jinn died a hero to him as far as he's concerned. And then he gets to the end, and that's why it's so painful for him when he stood on the lava fjord. You are the chosen one, because he's believed Qui-Gon Jinn instead of thinking logically for himself and seeing the things that Anakin does throughout the whole of 1, 2, and 3 that are actually evil. And then when he finds Luke, that colours his vision yet again, believing that Luke is the chosen one, because he knows he got it so badly wrong in the first 3 with Anakin. And then he sacrifices himself, when actually Luke then is completely and utterly lost from 1 through to 2 and has to go and find Yoda. Obi-Wan freaking ran out on Luke in the first one. It's like I'm your pseudo father, but I'm going to kill myself because I can't cope with the grief that I put up the wrong one in the first 3. There you go, that's my theory. Anyway.
That's a good theory.
I really like that theory.
I can't believe I'm the only person on the planet that thought that.
Well, let's say you're the only person out of the 6 of us.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a big sample, is it?
We're like, stop the Jar Jar. Stop the Jar
Jar. Jar Jar was, holy shit, we've worked out how to do animation. We need a green screen animation. Yeah, and
because
shit,
you can, yeah, not no. because you should.
So I have a theory about Jar Jar. It probably has been documented somewhere, but they were trying to get little kids into the franchise. And that's why they did. Oh, shit. Sure.
Totally makes sense.
So Wheaters talks about little kids into the franchise and says shit in the sentence.
Sorry, I dropped my headphones.
Deep Pan totally agrees with me. And no, you're not on your own. I thought the same, he says.
I'm back. So no. So Jar Jar is about... it's about getting little kids in the franchise and trying to engage them in the franchise so that then they will become Star Wars fans in the future.
Take Jar Jar Binks out of 1... And it's a significantly better film
for
if you think
us
the way about,
as grown-ups.
If you think the way I thought about...
Oh, no, totally. Well, I totally agree with you. I've never heard that take before, and I really like it, and it's awesome. But what I'm saying is, I think Jar Jar was very specifically put in there for try and engage little kids and get them engaged with the franchise.
That's all he felt like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the first one, and in every scene that... Qui-Gon Jinn's on. Don't watch Qui-Gon Jinn. Watch Obi-Wan. You'll see it completely differently, I promise you.
I don't know if I like you enough to sit through episode 1 for you, Ewan.
No, you do. Sit through episode 1.
I don't know if I like my husband well enough to sit through episode 1 again.
Okay, take
just
episode...
Just to put that out there.
Take episode 1, put it in Final Cut, scroll through, delete everything else apart from where Qui-Gon is on screen.
Somebody's bound to have done that. Hold on.
Yeah, they have done that.
Yeah,
yeah, the Phantom edit is actually, and you can get look a hold at, of that.
Oh, the Phantom edit. When you get that scene, yeah, don't watch Qui-Gon Jinn, just watch Obi-Wan's character, and you'll see it completely differently, I promise you.
So let me give you the quick rundown on why one should do Machete Order if you're going to. And that it, and remember,
I think I've just destroyed
is,
Machete Order right there. I'm just saying.
No,
that,
I'm really interested in that. But for people who are like, for people who don't care, or for people who might be interested in the Machete Order we were talking about initially, here's the order. You start with the very first film from 1977, Star Wars, which later got the subtitle A New Hope added to it. You start there. Then you watch The Empire Strikes Back. And then you watch the Attack of the Clones. And then Revenge of the Sith, and then Return of the Jedi. That's the order of them.
And why?
And the reason for that, according to the person who put this together, is that it keeps the story as Luke's story. And then Luke, we get to the end of Empire, and we get the twist, and then we take a flashback to explain how Darth Vader got to where he is. And then once you see that, then you go back to our real story, the main story, Luke's story, and you see how Luke is able to help him and save him, and is, and that's the key to actually destroying the Empire.
Okay.
So that gives you the right ending, instead of having this huge, you know, instead of having that, the ending in the middle or whatever, like you get all the other stuff, you get all the prequel stuff because you've got this cliffhanger, because remember at the end of Empire, like everything looks sort of disastrous. Our good guy,
you're watching the wrong movie, man.
Just found out our villain is his family. We've got Han still in Carbonite. He's God knows where. And, you know, and everything looks really bad. Everybody's scattered. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It all looks like really disappointing. And so then you go to this flashback to see how we got to where we are. And then you're able to wrap everything up, and it puts a big bow on the top.
You're
so it's a very
movie,
interesting
mate.
Way to do it. Just like you have a theory, Ewan, which I think is really interesting. This theory here is also very interesting to me. And I don't have the opportunity to do this because I've been watching these movies my whole life. So
The movie isn't about the triumph of good over evil. The movie is about good not existing without evil.
Oh, yeah.
In which case, there is no triumph. There is no win. There is no... And that's what this one will do, I think. You look at this thing where you've got the molten, melted mask of Darth Vader there. That's what it's about. It's about continuing the struggle between the two. And it will never end. Because Disney wants to make money out of it as well. Sorry to be a cynic.
Well, they already are. They're building another park in California.
Yeah, there we go. See?
And. So, yeah. And maybe someday they won't realize it, and they will pick me, and I will get to go be part of Jedi Academy, and I live in hope that that's still a thing that could happen someday.
Okay. Next
story. So Google Cardboard.
Next story is from Lee. It's on mental health. No, sorry.
No.
Hey, it's pretty close.
Which we clearly need, because we just spent how long on Star Wars?
Oh my God, Lee, you've stolen my story.
But I'm going on it for
Mr. Garrett, take us through it. Oh boy.
I'll tell you what it is. I wanted to do something that's, in the wake of all of the sort of shite and rubbish that we've been seeing on Twitter and the news and everything, I wanted to actually report on something that's positive.
Have you seen the shite and rubbish on my doorstep?
Yes. Yes.
And there's the show title.
Now, the title of the article is a bit of a misdirectional one. It's fairy lights could slow your Wi-Fi speeds. Now, I'm sure most of our listeners know that anything that gives off electromagnetic interference is going to slow down. There's a potential to slow down your Wi-Fi. This could be microwaves, baby monitors, anything like that. So that title, I don't agree with. I think it's a silly title. But if you read the article itself, it's actually come out the back of the fact that Ofcom have now released their 2015 Connected Nations report, which looks at the state of telecoms and wireless throughout the whole of the UK. And everything has improved on the back of last year. So the amount of homes that can now get super fast broadband, for example, is up to 83%, whereas it was 75% last year. If we look at the mobile networks, 4G, you can get 7 in 10 users now are able to receive 4G, whereas it was only 4 out of 10 this time last year. Although, don't talk to me about 3. I know you're a 3 user as well, aren't you, Ewan? And, you know, that seems to have gone down over the course of the last year rather than gone up.
London, but, you know,
things are improving. Things are getting better. And as a country, I think we actually probably need to take a little bit more pride in exactly how connected we are and how much progress we're making, as opposed to other, you know, our sister nations around the world. Second thing that's interesting about that article is Ofcom have now released some coverage and connectivity tools that allow you to be able to, if you're thinking of choosing a different mobile provider, then you can see, you know, very pinpoint sort of calculations as to exactly what kind of coverage you're going to get in any location within the UK. And the third output of this article is that Ofcom have now released a great Wi-Fi check-in tool around the house for you to be able to make sure that the positioning of your router and all of your other equipment around the house is optimal to make sure that your Wi-Fi is spot on. I'll put the links in the chat room for those. But I just think that that's actually a really, really positive story, something that's good that the country's doing in order to be able to improve our tech. It's better than all the rubbish I'm watching on Twitter at the moment.
Well, I mean, I had my rant last week on Twitter, and I know you agree with that, Lee, that the, you know, there's too much negativity and there's too much politics and religion being talked on Twitter, and too many people trying to solve the world with Twitter meme solutions. That's our hashtag, by the way, if you want to go with it. Is this Ofcom's job?
Ofcom's job to...
It's to regulate,
yeah,
the telecommunications market.
Okay.
Now, I think what they've done here, I read this story and I thought, well, that's good to know, because I'll switch the Christmas lights off and I can be a bigger humbug than I already am. But I sat and read it and I thought to myself, why on earth are Ofcom pushing something out like this? And then I read, and the reason is because the largest number of complaints that they get about slow speeds is... at Christmas.
Oh, really? Oh,
that's interesting.
If
it's
you look
not
at,
just because people are home more?
No, if you look at the complaints that come to Ofcom about slow speeds from broadband providers, they peak at Christmas. They're effectively double whatever they are for the rest of the year on a single month.
And
so
I'm not saying
that
there's anything wrong with that, but wouldn't it maybe have something to do with all these people who are all trying to use all the internet all the time at the same time in one location?
Well, and new devices over Christmas time as well.
You're way ahead of me here, because my thought is this is like Who Shot Kennedy. I mean, this is are you serious? Because how do you get rid of 50% complaints that you can't answer and you don't have the staff to deal with? You create some cock and bull story about frigging Christmas lights being the problem.
Well,
it's
genius,
brilliant, aren't they? It's brilliant. It's misdirection. Oh, yeah. It's all
well,
over
the
there.
Headline. I mean, that was the headline, but we know that you know, if you turn on the microwave, that can do stuff to it too. I mean,
well, now there is that, because wifey's missus, righty's missus has got some popcorn tonight apparently, and it crapped out his broadband. So
it does
freaking
popcorn.
Well,
okay,
there's
so
a bit of a difference between a microwave and a set of Christmas LEDs. Surely.
There's no scientific proof, I assume.
There isn't anything referenced in the article, certainly.
No.
No, there's not.
But I did think it was interesting to see that the networks had expanded. I thought that was sort of at least a positive note out of all of this is, like you guys were saying, these are market regulators. It's probably their job to know their market. And so I think at least, if nothing else, the report had some good news in it, even though the only reason people are talking about it is because Christmas lights are keeping you off the book face.
But surely the uptake in bandwidth and all that sort of stuff is people shopping online at Christmas. That's
and new devices at Christmas time getting on.
Exactly. That's probably more likely, and that would be actually a more believable excuse. More people are shopping online, more people got new devices and that sort of thing. That's actually the reason why LED lights shut up.
Yeah
Now what do I do about my Christmas lights?
I love the fact
Wi-Fi.
That Lee brought a really beautifully positive story, and the rest of us now, including me,
look at what you've done.
I've turned this into rat shit. I'm sorry, mate.
Okay, so can I bring this back?
Ho ho ho,
I'm gonna bring this back serious here.
Santa's here.
Do you not think fairy lights is quite a sexist term?
What?
Fairy lights.
What's fairy light?
Fairy lights, that's what we called Christmas lights.
I ain't touching that with the barge pole.
They're the lights. They're the lights of fairies, as in the type that you have at the bottom of your garden with wings, not the type that frequent Soho.
So necessarily fairies.
Like I say, barge pole.
mate, you're going to sit there and you're going to slag me off for being politically incorrect. We have two friends who are a couple. And we love them to bits. And I built a fish pond at the bottom of my garden years ago. This goes back a long time. I had a fish pond. It leaked. So I spent the Christmas bonus that I got from the firm that I worked for putting a new fish pond in that I couldn't afford, that I didn't want. I didn't want the fish when we moved in, and that's the end of it. So these guys came around and helped me. And we stood there. And one of the guys is digging out at the bottom end of the garden. And he looks up at me and he said, "You know you wanted fairies at the bottom of your garden. I bet you didn't think it was going to be me." So, there is nothing offensive there, mate.
That's amazing.
I didn't say offensive, I said sexist.
That's the best
we
story.
Went, the same couple helped us build a pergola in the bottom of our garden. And one of the guys comes with me and he's helping me pick out the wood to bring back some 4x4-inch pieces of wood. And I'm looking
there is just so much gold in that sentence.
And I'm looking down the piece of wood and I said to him, "No, shut up."
You are totally laying these up now, aren't you?
No. And he's picking the next bit out from the pile of wood that's there. And I said, "Just make sure it's straight before we put it on." He said, "Are you sure you're asking the right person?"
Do you live in a carry-on film?
No, I just have great friends that aren't fucking hung up about shit that doesn't matter.
Carry on, Mankin.
Carry on what?
Exactly. So,
So just to get back to the story, what do I do about my Christmas lights that use Wi-Fi?
Your Christmas lights use Wi-Fi?
You're stuck in the infinite loop of doom.
Have you got like an if this then that that flashes them in a certain order?
Yeah, and different colours and things. Do you want to see?
For when you and Mr. Kelly are in different moods.
They've only got to be connected up to a Wemo switch, haven't they?
Boom, chicka, wow, but, wow! Yeah.
No, it's not. This isn't the Wemo switch. I've done that. That's for the tree. This is for outside.
Oh, I've seen the picture, actually, on, it's Griswold territory, isn't it?
Yeah, to be fair, he saw it on Instagram, and the caption on the photo is Operation Griswold, Phase 1 complete. So, yeah, I can choose a bunch of, I don't know if it'll focus, there we go. I can choose a bunch of different colors, and I can choose which lights I want, and I can choose what pattern they go in. So, yeah. And this is the one set, the ones that go along the walkway we haven't put up yet, but we will. So that's them. And I built a man-eating wreath and hung it out on the front of my house like some Nightmare Before Christmas. Please,
that's please a B-movie. That is a B-movie right there.
Your camper saying, "Merry Christmas, sugar's full."
I'm so buying that sweater this year. That they make an ugly Christmas sweater that says that, and it's got like the little cross stitch RV on the front of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, 3 months ago, I would have took the piss out of Kelly for that and called her a complete geek because, you know, who the hell would want to do that and all that kind of stuff. But since I got my Wemo, I roll over in bed in the morning, I switch the heater on in the office, and when I get in here, it's piping hot, and it's like, yes, thank you very much.
So do you want the power tip?
Oh, hang on. The best thing ever. Right, so this is just awesome. Last weekend we went away. My wife had bought me a birthday present that we hadn't collected on, and it included a night in a hotel and then go to this thing that was Formula One cars, a big collection of Formula One cars. I was tweeting out loads of pictures. Brilliant. It was awesome. So she said, "What are we going to do on Sunday for dinner?" I said, "Why don't we do a slow cook thing and we use the Wemo to trigger it?" And she's like, "Yeah, but that means we've got to put the meat in on Saturday." I said, "Why don't we put the meat in the slow cooker frozen on Saturday morning before we leave? And then I'll start the slow cooker on Sunday morning because it'll be defrosted during the night. And then it'll be piping up when we get in. We'll have dinner." She went, "Yeah, can you do that?" Yeah. And Sunday morning, I woke up in the hotel. I switched the slow cooker on. When we got back, dinner was cooked. And that is the geekiest thing I've ever done, perhaps.
That's so beautiful, I may cry.
Right, yeah, but hang on. See, my wife, if I say anything geeky or anything techie, my wife just rolls her eyes and she's like, "Holy crap, he's off." But even she went, "Man, that's cool."
Yeah.
She wants to buy a Wemo plug for her sister for Christmas. She thought it was that cool. And my wife is an absolute Luddite who hates anything to do with tech. So it really must be cool if she says yes. So I'm with Kelly on this one, sorry. I used to, 3 months ago, Kelly, I'd have taken the piss out of you, but not anymore.
Okay, so let me... You guys have If This Then That over there, right? You guys can subscribe to the services and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what you do is there's a number that you text, a specific phone number that you're given from If This Then That.
I don't think the phone number thing works in the UK, unfortunately. Or it certainly didn't when I tried to set it up about a year ago.
No, I tried using it a couple of weeks ago.
And Wheaters hasn't explained it then, this then that to me yet. So
Yeah, that's on okay. On the cards for later.
So for people who get the phone number to text
under your belt, your world is going to just explode with awesomeness.
Most and things do under the belt. Totally.
So what you do is you add that phone number to your contacts, but you add that phone number as Santa. Okay. So you've got Santa in your phone.
Well, that's ridiculous. And then
you plug in your Wemo and you plug in your Christmas lights to it and you have the If This Then That channel set up to whenever you text it, that it turns your Christmas lights on or it turns your Christmas lights off. Then you pick up your phone and you say, text Santa to turn on my Christmas lights. And then it happens.
That is pretty cool.
And you can, and even better, if you have kids around to do it, you say, tell Santa to turn on my Christmas lights to your phone, and then it just happens. It's the best thing. And I actually have a video cool. of it. I can show you. Because I did it last year, Jeff, as a tip.
Yep, I do remember that. And it was awesome.
Now, Patrice has put a great, actually, I must plug Patrice's article because if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/blog, you'll see Patrice's article this week on his typical day and the way that his interactions with Siri and that kind of stuff really help him. And he's got a thing where he just says to Siri, I'm leaving the house, and everything switches off. And then he says to Siri, I'm on my way home, and everything switches on, which I'm guessing is through if This Then That. And that stuff is that I need to get to do that because that really is cool. You know, all your geographical.
You can do
location
some of that with HomeKit also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's
so the other cool thing that you can do with a Wemo is and Philips Hue lights have this same feature. You can set up geofencing because this is actually why I'm considering doing something like this for some members of my family, is because you can set it up so that when you come home, a light comes on. And then you never come home to a dark house. And particularly this time of year when days are so short, it's really easy to leave in the daytime and come home in the nighttime and you didn't think to leave a light on, or you have to leave a light on all the time because you never know. And this way you don't have to. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I use the geofencing all the time. It's wonderful.
I don't have to remember to shut the lights off, I think.
Or worry about if they'll be on.
I have a geofence that texts my wife when I pass a location that's about 10 miles away from my house. So she kind of knows I'm about 50 minutes away, so the postman can leave.
So she can pour you a gin and tonic.
I got
a right kicking off Sharon yesterday because I got in. I said, right, I'm in the station. I'll be 15 minutes when I get a cab. I'd like a gin and tonic, please.
And that got you
I was 30 seconds away from the spare room last night.
Yeah, but did you get your gin and tonic?
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay. That's the question.
Great story, Lee. I'm not sure whether they've pushed this out as a bit of diversionary tactics, though.
I completely agree. 100% misdirection.
I think it might depend on your lights. So if Kelly's lights, as she said, you know, if Kelly's lights may be the correct answer to the question, but the other thing is, I mean, my Wi-Fi at home, if you look at Apple's interaction with its own Wi-Fi, I've just taken my AirPort Extreme out because it is horrific. It's just awful. None of the Wi-Fis are connecting to it, and I've just enabled the Virgin router instead to do Wi-Fi, and it's seamless. It's working perfectly.
See, I have the opposite thing. So I have a BT router and two AirPort Extremes in my house, and as soon as I put the AirPort Extreme in, just absolutely seamless, just absolutely perfect.
I've just thrown mine in the bin. We'll fish it out, and you can take it home, mate. You'll have three. Because I don't want it. Shit. Who's got a story? Come on, stick it in the chat room.
There you go.
Jeffrey.
Ooh.
Oh, and it's not a porn one. Good lad.
I know. I was really torn which way to go, and I decided to go the Microsoft route today. Okay, so there's two layers in this story. And the first layer is Microsoft is really pushing developers to write Windows Mobile apps. And you know, as a way to boost a platform. Totally makes sense. The other part of this is that Steve Ballmer in a shareholder meeting totally gave Satya Nadella the smackdown in front of everyone, saying it's a really bad idea and Microsoft needs to get Android apps running on Windows. So so there's that little conflict. But then the whole thing with Ballmer just being very vocal in a shareholder meeting and speaking out against something that Satya Nadella is doing.
I think the third thing that's really important about this is we have learned something about Steve Ballmer in this, is the fact that he knows how to spell big words and he can count to more than 10. I think that's quite important to take out of this story as well.
Yeah. Yes, there's that too.
That's important.
I think there's a certain, being devil's advocate yet again, there's a certain negativity in the fact if you actually really analyse what Microsoft's done in the last few months since Nadella took over, practically and actually, there is not a lot of value added potentially in what he's done.
Well, so this...
let me finish that. The difference is Nadella has got Apple to mention Microsoft and it's got Apple to slag off Microsoft, and I think that is the bigger thing, and I think that's a positive. Everyone's gone on about HoloLens, fair enough, there is nothing out there. I mean, it is vaporware still. There is nothing to see, there is nothing to do. It is not a rival to Oculus Rift, which is still pseudo vaporware, but Nadella has come out with some innovative ideas, which has got Apple spooked, because Apple is now, instead of slagging off Android, is now slagging off Microsoft.
Well, so two sides to that. Apple are slagging off Microsoft potentially, but they had Microsoft on stage at their last press conference, which is a massive step forward.
Yeah, but you look at the Surface iPad Pro battle. Mm-hmm. I think that's telling. I think
they're different devices.
I think they're right. I think you're right. But the point is, they have got... I'm not suggesting that Microsoft has done anything that's really that catastrophic to Apple, but the fact that they've got Apple slagging them off is a thing.
It is. But taking it away from the Apple sort of Microsoft world type thing, I think Satya Nadella has done some really interesting things. I mean, personally, I actually have opened my eyes back to Microsoft since Satya Nadella took over. I have subscribed to Office 360. It is absolutely superb. Yes, and I was a numbers pages guy entirely before that, and I've now subscribed to that and I'm completely on there. Their share price is going great guns. So I mean, there's some really good things there. I think there's a lot of good things that can be done. And frankly, if I was Ballmer and I was in that position and I was sitting on the board, I would be sitting there going, this guy is just making me look crap. So I accept a lot of things that he's saying, but I think there must be somewhere in there, given that we know the personality the Ballmer has, there must be something in there about him just wanting to smack talk him.
I think that's right. I think it's like, I was head of Microsoft for so long and I was shit and everyone said I was crap and called me monkey boy, and you've done far better than I have in shorter space of time than it took me to jump up and down on stage and look ridiculous, and I'm so pissed. I wish I'd bought a basketball team.
And tried to force them all to use Surfaces.
Yeah, that's another story. I agree with Paul on Office, though. I bought Office because basically customers send me stuff through that's in Word format or in Excel format, and it nearly always corrupts when I open it in Pages or Numbers. And I bought it just because, if I want to provide a good service, I should buy it, so therefore I'll buy it. And actually, now I've used it, it's not going to stop me generating documents in Pages that I want for myself, but it's going to stop me generating documents in Pages that I'm worried about corrupting for my customers.
So I haven't opened, I can safely say, since I took out my 365 subscription, I haven't opened any iWork application other than them that I've accidentally been defaulted to open. I don't open everything in Excel and Page and
Word. I have to completely agree. And for my main client role that I'm doing at the moment, I'm working as a project manager for Office 365 migrations across Europe. And the way that they've got things like Skype for Business, you know, mm-hmm. running, you know, in parallel with the Office apps, etc. It's really, really cohesive and mm. and works ever so well. I haven't been as impressed with Microsoft recently as I am, you know, within the last few months. I think the stuff that they're doing, apart from the issue that we had with regards to the OneDrive debacle, where they said you can have unlimited storage and then decided to renege on that and say no, you can only have a terabyte. That aside, I think they've been absolutely fantastic over the course of the last few
years. I think the thing that's different is whether you're in a creative role or a productivity role. So the things that Paul and Lee would use it for are completely different from what I would want. So for example, in Pages I can create a media content holder, whereas in Keynote I can't. But I can create a media content holder in Pages and copy and paste it into Media, and then it's a media content holder. And then I can animate in Keynote, and then I can export as a movie, and I can use that in Final Cut as a movie with a green screen behind it, because I put a green block behind it that then turns it into an animation, a graphic animation. So I use it entirely differently than you guys probably would, because you're focused on Excel and numbers, Excel's type really, activities, yeah, exactly. Whereas I'm mm. not.
I think the massive caveat there, actually, you've just called it out, is Keynote. Actually, in my opinion, Keynote still beats PowerPoint absolutely hands down and takes its lunch money. Yeah, there's no question about Keynote. But
I've never made a Keynote for a presentation. Keynote for me is a completely poor man's animation application.
It's actually really cool animation application.
Yeah.
Well, Keynote is fantastic. I have to disagree there. I think it's awesome.
Well, what you've got to do, if you do Keynote presentations, then Keynote is fantastic and it's still better than PowerPoint. I agree with Paul. But for me, you've got to realise that you can drag an entire PSD into Keynote and animate each layer separately.
And I didn't know you could do that. That's awesome.
And then you can output that as a .mov file.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At 1080. So it is. People go, you know, and Mike Rose said it's a poor man's motion. Well, motion's a piece of cake. You know, you can learn motion in an afternoon. Everyone looks at motion and goes, "Ooh," but actually, it's a lot easier than you think. And motion's really powerful. But actually, if you want something simple, like something to just track from left to right, or you want it to drop in with the anvil animation with the clouds and stuff like that, your best bet is to do that inside Keynote and take the movie that you want to overlay that over with and export it from Final Cut as a .mov file, drop that behind it as a background, animate over the top of it, and then export that as a .mov file again from Keynote and put it back into your original presentation in Final Cut. It's a convoluted work process, but actually it's significantly easier to achieve than it is to do it with motion. Keynote is massively powerful.
It is.
And Preview as well. You can mm-hmm. import entire, there are 28 file types that you can import into Preview, including Illustrator documents and PSDs. And people don't believe that.
Have you tried Sway? Yeah.
What's Sway? Tell us more, Artie.
So Sway is a new product from Microsoft that is going to replace PowerPoint. So we use it at work. It's part of the Office 365. I'll put it in the chat room as well. But it's, you know, like how Prezi is a really good version of PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But Sway takes all those things from Keynote and everything, and it puts all the animation and everything in. But it's responsive, so you can actually build a presentation that will work on your Windows desktop, on iOS device, Android devices. It responds to all the sort of screens. And I don't think a lot of people know about it at the moment.
No, I've never heard of it. That's really cool. Is it just Sway as in, like, swaying when you're dancing kind of thing?
Yeah.
As in, that's how you spell it.
SWAY.com. But you get that, but you can edit things on tablets and on your iPhone and all that sort of stuff. And I've only been exposed to it in my new job at work, but I do all of my presentations in Sway now because they're absolutely brilliant. So you can just build it and then you can present with an iPad or just on your phone, and it does classy animation. It's not as, because PowerPoint is just really dull. If someone's got PowerPoint, it just, you're like, oh god, I'm in for an hour of being really dull.
Death by PowerPoint.
Sway is really clever, and it's got layers as well, so you can put certain things on top of other things, so you can have multiple layers in one slide as well. So, and you can build movies, videos, links and all that sort of thing, and you haven't got to worry about the limitations of PowerPoint. So I think I'm surprised that Microsoft haven't promoted it as well as they have, really, because it's actually a really powerful tool.
Well, hang on. Therein, perhaps, is the entire discussion. The fact that you're talking so eloquently about a product which is so powerful, and there is probably... Anyone else here heard that?
Nope.
First time I've heard
it. We use it for when we're doing presentations to stakeholders, but we only found out about Sway by when we logging onto the Office 365 portal, clicking on our apps and going, what are these two apps here? Sway and Delve. Delve's another one.
So therein, perhaps, lies the biggest problem that Microsoft has.
They're promoting the good stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Sweet. That's the problem in Soho as well.
And that's... But, I mean, I always said that about, you remember the Mac versus PC advert? All through that period, all I ever said was, our software runs power stations. What does your do? Make shit look good. Piss off. And that's the retro advert campaign that they should have run against the Mac versus PC thing, is that our stuff does important stuff. Yours makes shit look good. Sod off. You're not important. And they would have killed that. But they didn't do it.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the important things that they run is running on Windows 95 and Windows 3.1.
Well, you say that. I mean, but I do work for
I know that.
I'm not going to say a word, but there's a firm I work for, and one of their devices runs on Windows 3.11.
Yeah.
And the guy that has...
Crazy amount of airplanes were on Windows 3.11.
Yeah. And so they get a new device that monitors their performance, and this guy gets this device... And he has to go home at the weekend and he writes a driver, because the device that's been created, the earliest driver they've got for that is Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to go home and rewrite a driver so that it will run on 3.11 so that they can monitor performance.
Almost all ATMs run on Windows NT.
And pretty good well.
Stuff. Yep.